This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hour number two, the Diehard starts right now. Sports Map Radio Network, Patrick Gilroy, Bobby Kravinsky sitting in here tonight for Anthony Pepe and friends. And Bobby, I know the first hour, there was a lot of back and forth conversation. We're both engaged. How comfortable are you with, you're talking to nobody for the next hour? I'm clearly distracted now that the second game has started here on TNT.
Well, on Friday nights, with the exception of when I bring in my ace producer, Jack McGraw, or we have a guest on, that's what I'm doing. Just me and the listeners having a conversation, and I hope that they're engaged and enthralled. So I'll play off your mannerisms to know if it's going good or bad for the Celtics.
Engaged and enthralled. Those are two excellent vocabulary words, SAT words, that I'm going to find a way to work in at some point here in the second hour of the program. When we come back here on the Sports Map Radio Network, the sports professor, Rick Horro, he'll join us. And then we're going to get back to our coaching conversation, because the coaching carousel in the NBA, I think, is due for some more changes this year. But if you listen to these players and you listen to the people that cover this league around the country, there seems to be an outcry for more and more of these former players stepping into coaching roles. And there's a few guys that come to mind that I think are prepared, ready, and qualified to do it. Sam Cassell is one of them. If you told me Sam Cassell was joining the Celtics bench as their head coach, I could make an argument for that. I could live with that. Tell me it's going to be Kendrick Perkins, who I swear can't spell his own name. We're going to have a problem with how this team is run and what comes next in their future. And if you think that's a Boston problem, no. This is a problem around the league today.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Perk, I mean, look, I believe it was Bill Parcells, I'm hoping you can help me out here, who said, if you listen to the fans, you're going to end up sitting with them.
Yep.
I don't want Perkins sitting in that hot seat as the head coach.
I would love to sit with fans, though, as the state opens things up here in the coming weeks, and we'll see if the Celtics will be able to be at capacity for these playoffs. His name is Bobby Kravinsky. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We are the Diehards, and this is the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards, right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy, Bobby Kravinsky taking you guys up until 10 o'clock Eastern Time here tonight. Hanging out with you guys, talk a lot of hoops so far today, but you know, and Rick Horro, by the way, from horrosports.com, is going to join us here coming up in a couple of minutes. But Rick is kind enough to send us stories that he wants to sort of talk about, right? Stuff that he writes about on his website. And it's a book. It's a small book every week. We can only get to a few of them. But as we sort of wait for Rick to finish connecting with us, there's something I want to ask you about because of our age difference here. But this story here, the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to add ProWire play-by-play audio for fans attending home games. Essentially, it's an app that's going to allow you to listen to the play-by-play audio of the TV broadcast while you're at the game. Cool idea. I get it. But forever, now maybe not in your generation, but fans used to bring little transistor radios or headphone radios to listen to one of the play-by-play broadcasts. At the old Garden, the original Boston Garden, they had TVs everywhere, literally, like not just in the concourse, but in stadium, because there were so many obstructed view seats, and you'd look up in the play-by-play voice of Tommy Heinsohn, Mike Gorman, they'd be doing their thing. How is this some sort of new technology bringing you in arena play-by-play when I feel like that's one of the oldest things that the oldest people that attend games have been doing for their entire lives?
Yeah, that's already on the menu. I have friends who go to games and they listen to the broadcast, whether it's radio or TV, while they're in attendance. I'm guessing that because of Wi-Fi and so many people are on it, that it's going to be more reliable. But in-arena Wi-Fi just isn't really that quick to begin with. So I'm sure it's going to help. I don't know how much of a difference it's going to be from what they already have when you go to a game and just pull up an app to listen to the broadcast, radio, or TV. So I don't know, a little bit underwhelming. I'm sure it'll help, though.
When you attend a game, though, so for me anyways, there's always the people, especially at baseball games, it felt like, that were either scoring the game with a pencil in their scoring notebook or listening to the broadcast in-ear with a transistor radio sort of thing. And that's fine. I get that. But when I go to a game, and especially for me, a Celtics game or a Patriots game, and I'm attending as a fan and not as media, if it's a big game, a playoff game, an emotional game, one of the best parts of that experience for me is, I don't know, high-fiving the person behind me, hugging a random stranger, bonding with a group of like-minded people, and that sort of emotional lift is something that is tangible. I get excited talking about it, and some of my greatest memories in both Boston Gardens are surrounded by people that I'll never see again. But they're burned in my brain forever because of those moments. And I feel like you'd miss out on some of those moments if you're just sitting there buried listening to the broadcast in your ear. Maybe it's a COVID thing, though. Maybe it's people aren't going to feel safe even as they do return to the arenas and they can sort of get lost in themselves. To me, that's a sin. You take away from a big part of that in-arena experience. That's what I pay hundreds of dollars for a ticket, that experience. If I want to listen to the broadcast, I'll do it for free. I'll stay home.
Yeah, I'm the same way, where I'm someone who likes to talk and interact with everyone around me in my proximity. It's actually how, when I was a kid, that I got, I'll call them backstage passes, to go back and was able to hang out in that hallway where the Celtics and the Wizards came and hung out. So that was really cool. And it was only a product of talking to the people sitting in the row behind me.
It is. And it's one of those things that we'll get to Rick Horro, who may be able to explain this better. Our juvenile brains might not be able to process information like this. Speaking of Rick Horro, horrosports.com, the rumor is that Rick has joined us and he is on the line. Rick, welcome to the Diehards. It's Patrick and it's Bobby. How's it going, man?
Well, it's not really good because my Panthers, after, 20 years of ignorance and ambivalence, are down 2-0. We're starting the second period. The brain trust is focusing on coming back. And you want me to engage in some mindless patter. So what do you want?
Well, you know what? Mindless banter is what we do. It's what sports talk radio is, Rick.
My Celtics aren't
doing much better. So we could also sit here and commiserate and just call it a night, and I'd be just as happy with that.
Yeah, your middle name is MP for mindless patter. By the way, really good stuff last week at Polar Park, and we did our comeback series, and Larry Lucchino is a legend. And the idea of a new stadium in Worcester, that was a big deal last week. And people shouldn't underestimate how important that move from Pawtucket to Worcester will be for that team and that city.
I am about an hour and 10 minutes away from Worcester, and I told my kids after we talked to you last week that I watched everything on the news and saw what Lucchino is built there. I said, as soon as it opens up to full capacity, which looks like it's going to be happening sooner than later, we're going to go down there and give them that AAA experience. They've been to Fenway a bunch. They've been to the Garden a bunch. But that AAA experience, it's different. And especially for kids, there's so much going on there that I feel like it's a cheaper ticket, and they're going to get more of a total day experience than they would going and spending more money at Fenway.
Well, it's part of a whole deal in downtown Worcester. I stayed at a hotel which wouldn't have existed but for the development plan that included Polar Park, an AC Marriott, kind of an extension of their high-quality stuff. And Worcester needed an economic bolt, and this is it. And I know there are discussions about stuff in Pawtucket, but they were the losers. And Rhode Island was the loser, and Massachusetts was the winner. And it is great to watch Louis Tiant at 460 years old, and Bob Cousy at 470 years old, Rich Gettman, who is a Worcester hero and the batting coach of the Red Sox, as we know, and Pedro Martinez. What a great group to throw out the first ball, and it was all about Red Sox history. And, you know, why not with this new reconfiguration of minor league baseball in all of the cities, 120 teams, but now all of them have some relation back to the geography. So we got Portland Sea Dogs, obviously. We got the Woo Sox, all Red Sox teams, and it couldn't have come at a better time.
Rick, Bobby Krivitsky here. If you had given me four realistic choices for who the highest-earning athlete was in 2020, the first person I would have eliminated would have been Conor McGregor. He turns out to be at the top of the list, though. He earns $22 million in the octagon and $158 million outside of it. In your opinion, does he still need to fight to stay relevant to generate what he does outside the cage, or can he retire and still sustain being one of the highest-earning athletes?
Hell yeah. I'm not holding the best sale for that guy. $180 million a year? I mean, that's pretty damn good. And not only his deal with DraftKings, but his stuff with the retail line and the whiskey line, he's doing pretty good. Ronaldo, some of the other players in the soccer world, Tom Brady is there, LeBron is there. They're all in the $70, $80, $90 million range. That's fine, but it's amazing that he is up there higher than everybody would have thought. And at the end of the day, we have a new champion in the octagon. And it tells you a lot that that sport will command mainstream endorsements and mainstream dollars, which is really important for the sport and obviously important to him.
Rick, it feels like since it's the first time you and I spoke about a year and a half ago, the COVID has been a subject in sort of the evolution of COVID and how it relates to sports. But I'm not going to say the end is here, but the end is getting nearer. Let's put it that way. Last week, the CDC comes out and says, hey, if you've had your shots, you don't have to wear your mask anymore. Joe Biden comes out, says the same thing. And in Massachusetts, where the ball moves much slower than it does, it feels like everywhere else, they moved up their opening dates from August to the end of May. So by the end of May, Fenway Park is going to be at capacity. I'm hoping that TD Garden will be at capacity as well for the Celtics playoffs, Bruins playoffs, but we shall see. And that got me thinking about the story that you have in here, that mini golf is on a resurgence. So you mean to tell me that if you have a hot date, that awkward first date where it's, what are you going to do? Do you get dinner and then it's sit there and do nothing? Mini golf is back on the table. It's a thing again?
Well, listen, for most people, it provides a welcome distraction. For you, it needs to be a complete diversion, because I'm not sure any date ought to be exposed to all of your aspects, and anything that can distract her, it's probably a good thing. So
well played.
Take her to bowling, take her to Top Golf, take her to mini golf. And in reality, this is a big deal. Rory McIlroy has a company called Puttery. We now have a new deal with Tiger Top Golf. We also have a new deal that's exposed all over the country. And, you know, now that we're focusing on the PGA Championship in Kiawah starting Thursday, we now have a whole bunch of people that will be inspired by excitement in the evening, miniature golf, just kind of like Top Golf. And the NGF, by the way, which is interesting, decided to include top golfers as part of the world of new golfers. So we're going to include miniature golf as well. And it's good for the sport. It is really good. And anything that will distract any of your potential dates from reality of dealing with you needs to be commended.
Rick, the Athletics want a waterfront stadium in downtown Oakland. Based on the lack of progress in their negotiations with local government officials, they've now started to explore other markets, which is probably unequal parts due diligence as well as a negotiating tactic. Do you think this ends with them getting a new waterfront stadium to stay in Oakland? Or not long after the Raiders left for Vegas, are they about to lose another franchise?
Well, I did a little deal on Sports Grid today, which you ought to see, which I made the argument that the more deadline and pressure you put on, probably better for Oakland, because the mayor is saying, we're not going to lose all three. Well, you better get your majority vote or you are going to lose all three. And so you've had history of teams that were wallowing around, and then a deadline would happen, and the relocation conversation would happen. All of a sudden, they get it done. So everybody was talking about the end of the Oakland A's. I think that deal with Rob Manfred and his deal made it easier for Oakland to come to the table. Let's just see if it happens. Vancouver, Montreal, Charlotte, Vegas, a lot of cities that really want stuff, but you know, no clear choice right now. And everybody understands that this Jack London Square stadium deal and the real estate deal on the current land with ODOTCO Stadium, whatever it's called today, Ring Central, and the old Oracle Arena is the right answer in combination. But let's just see if the Oakland Commission has the guts, I would use another word, but let's just say guts, to put the deal together. How's that?
Last one for me, Rick, under a minute left here. But it got me thinking about something you and I talked about multiple times here a couple of months ago, how the youth of America today really isn't engaging in watching three-hour sporting events. They're getting their 8 to 10 minutes on YouTube and other ways of staying in touch with their sports, but not sitting down and committing to watching the entire game. And then I read today that the short-form sports video platform Buzzr agreed to a deal with the NBA, is going to distribute its out-of-market league pass as a streaming product. Is this another avenue in which people don't have to commit to watching full games but can get sort of stay up to date with their teams no matter what in this sort of short-format output?
Pal, if you'd have told me 5 years ago that the two dominant media words today are streaming and snackable, I'd say, what are you talking about? So streaming, we see the lacrosse deal that was done. We see the WNBA deal was done. We see the NHL deal was done. It was all about maximizing streaming opportunities for everybody to get every deal in a world that doesn't have any limitations. Snackable means, why would I want to watch a 2.5 hour non-defense dominated NBA game if I can watch it in 3 minutes? And that's exactly what's happening as well. Now that we've figured out how to monetize that, the sky is the limit. So we're going to have a series of NBA games that will last no longer than 4 minutes. What a country.
You read his stuff at horosports.com. The sports professor, Rick Horo, thanks for joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. And I know that I'm looking forward to talking to you again next Tuesday, Rick.
Of course you are. Talk to you later. Bye.
Of course I am. There's nobody else I'd rather spend my Tuesday talking to than Rick Horo. Big thanks to Rick for joining us on the Progressive guest line here. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote today at progressive.com. And don't forget to check out Progressive's new home quote explorer, only at progressive.com. My name is Patrick Gilroy. His name is Bobby Kravinsky. We are the Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. When we come back, we'll give you guys the latest on what's happening in the NBA, and so far, so good for the Celtics. Also want to get into this coaching conversation that we've been teasing here for the last hour. All of that and, oh, so much more when we come back right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards right here in the Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy, Bobby Kravinsky hanging out with you guys, taking you until 10 o'clock Eastern time. And look, one quarter down, the Celtics 6-point lead here. And I do want to get into the coaching conversation, but initial thoughts here on the way the Celtics came out tonight, playing a team that has been the hottest team, especially offensively in basketball, limiting them to just 21 first quarter points.
So I like the way the Celtics are moving, especially off the ball offensively. And at the other end, I've seen Bradley Beal reach for that hamstring a couple times, which isn't surprising after watching him try to gut through their last game of the regular season. But it certainly takes some of the anticipation for this matchup away.
So because Bradley is, let's say, 70%, that's something that you look at it as a negative, because for me, I'm all about it. Like,
yeah, if you just want the Celtics to win, or you have money on them, whatever the case may be, then you're kind of loving it. You know, no one wants to root for injuries, but it certainly bodes well for the Celtics prospects tonight. But if you're someone who is just rooting for the most entertaining, most compelling matchup possible, seeing the second leading scorer in the NBA limp around the court and he's not even in right now, that's a different story.
So let me ask you this real quick about Bradley Beal, because his numbers are insane this year. He's been one of the league's premier offensive players the last handful of years, and he seemingly gets better and better and better every single year. But for whatever reason, he's a guy that always winds up in trade conversations. He's a guy that it seems like a certain segment of fans are unwilling to sort of put him in that top tier type of player that you build your team around. It's almost like, and the sizes don't compare, but when the Celtics had Isaiah Thomas and he was the fifth leading scorer in the league, he was a premier offensive talent, but you knew you couldn't anchor a championship team around him. Bradley sort of has that vibe about him, in my opinion. But regardless of what happens in the play-in tournament for the Wizards, is the way that they ended their season and the way that Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook played together to end their season, do you think that's enough to keep him off the trade market this summer?
Yeah, he controls his outcome, and he's someone who is very similar to Damian Lillard. Those two are close,
yep.
And Beal has confided in Lillard in the past and sought counsel on, hey, it's very easy to see the situation I'm in here. It doesn't look like it's getting better. How would you handle this, and how are you handling this in Portland? And it's interesting that Dame now is starting to regret that he hasn't put more pressure on the organization, whereas Beal, he wanted that trade that brought Russell Westbrook in. He got it. And so as a result, they finally, Westbrook gets healthy, and they start to click and take off. So for him to survive much worse seasons than this and not want out and not ask it, I can't imagine that he's going to turn around this offseason and demand that he goes to a new destination. I also wouldn't be surprised if, because of that, that if they don't get an extension done, if he ends up walking for nothing. I think that's a risk that the Wizards play. If they can't get an extension done beforehand and he never asks out because he's enjoying this situation, but then it sours, especially, it's going to be interesting to see, like I said at the top of the program, the pandemic has pulled majority of the league to around 500. And so if the Wizards, they're the 10th seed and it might be an inflated product. And you can talk about the impact that COVID ravaged their team and Westbrook's injury to start the season. But if they find themselves not even sniffing the playoffs his last year of his contract, he might leave for nothing.
I mean, this is Adam Silver's dream come true, by the way, with the majority of the league hovering around 500. What was happening in the Eastern Conference not too long ago, where you had six teams battling it out for the fourth seed, fifth seed, sixth seed. That is exactly the league that they tried to build for so long. That is the league that, parity-driven league, parity-driven basketball, where there isn't a clear-cut favorite night in and night out. That is what this league anticipated and tried desperately to build. And it's interesting that every tactical move that they made to try to get the league there never got it there. But it took a pandemic to get the league ultimately where it wanted to go. I'm not a fan of it because I like to see, I don't mind separation. I don't mind the elite teams. I am a guy that has a problem with some of the ways the elite teams are built. That's a different story for a different day. But I feel like if you've earned the ability, the right to be an elite team, don't take that away from me because you're trying to build the league in a different way. But this, having all these teams around 500, that's exactly what these guys have wanted for two decades now.
It is, and I think that they're thrilled that there are seven teams that can legitimately look at themselves and build themselves to fans as championship contenders, that there are, the Knicks are relevant, that they're going to have home court advantage this postseason. And so there's a lot of boxes that the league checked off this season. But the question, like we're saying here, how much of that is sustainable compared to, more than anything, a product of the pandemic and the impact it's had on this season?
A team that is not a championship contender but was a championship contender, the Golden State Warriors. Think about this as we go to break. There's rumblings and rumors coming out of Golden State that Steve Kerr wants out, and they may be ready to move on from Steve Kerr. Is he exactly the type of coach the Celtics could use to sort of bring this team to the next level? We'll talk about that when we come back. We are the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards right here, Sports Map Radio Network. I'm not going to say a quick show yet because we're not out of here just yet, but I just looked at the clock and I can't believe it's 9:40. There's 20 minutes left in the program. What the hell? You come in here and all of a sudden it just goes by in a heartbeat.
The show has flown by. We've got basketball in the background.
We do.
We had Rick Horro on. So, yeah, in the blink of an eye, it's 9:40.
You know, it, just like that, it's 9:40. It is 40 minutes past my usual bedtime. That's what happens after you turn 40. It's time to go to bed. You realize all those years I worked doing overnight radio and getting home at 3 in the morning and then going to my day job and being a coach
brutal with
3 hours of sleep, but you pull it off. Through the 30s, you can absolutely pull it off. Enough coffee, enough stimulants, you're okay. The moment I hit 40, it became exponentially harder to pull all that off. And because I got furloughed, now I'm at a point where even if I get invited back, I don't think I'm going to do it again. I don't think I've got it in me. So you guys, my point is, get comfortable with me here on the Sports Map Radio Network. That's all.
We love to have you, so that we're thrilled to hear it. And then once you go back to a normal schedule, I can understand that it's hard to go back to the grind of burning both ends of the candle and being up all night.
But you know who burns both ends of the candle? And it's not Anthony Pepe, although he does. It's NBA coaches. And you know, we've been talking about this on and off all night long, but the coaching in this league, if you listen to some people, they'll tell you that coaching is most important in the NBA. You listen to other people, they say it's irrelevant in the NBA. But then you see a story like the Knicks, and I'm telling you, they brought in the right guy for the right team, and that's why they're the 4 seed. Virtually the same talent that they had the year before, but now they're maximizing that talent. Thibodeau's really got that team humming, and there is legitimate excitement and anticipation for the future in New York right now. So you can't tell me coaching doesn't matter. And in Boston, you got a guy that's gone to the finals, the conference finals, 3 out of the last 4 years. And I know he just signed an extension. I know ownership loves him. But the fans are clamoring for Brad Stevens' days in Boston to be done. So, Bobby, I mean, as a guy that covers this league as intensely as you do, is coaching something that really matters in the NBA? And if so, do these teams have to start looking around and seeing and asking their players, who do you want to coach you? Who will you listen to? Because it's apparent to me that this team right now, they're not listening to Brad Stevens.
So you just gave a prime example of why coaching is relevant, why it matters. Another one is the transition from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr in Golden State, where they went out and they won the championship the next year after having...
With the same roster?
With the same roster. They had one of the worst offenses in the league despite the talent on it, and Mark Jackson proclaiming, this is the best backcourt, best shooting backcourt in NBA history. They still weren't that good of an offense as a unit, and then Steve Kerr comes in and they win the title. And so clearly that coaching matters. So to say that it's irrelevant is going too far, just like saying it's more important than the guys that play the game is also way – that's a Bikram yoga level stretch right there. And so when it comes to Brad Stevens and his relationship with the Celtics, I understand that the contract takes it off the table, that they're not going to move on from him and pay someone else the cost to come in and take his job. Beyond that, you don't want to overreact to this pandemic-impacted season where, like we said, majority of the league is around 500. That next question of, are guys tuning him out? Does he still have their ear? There are times where it looks like no. There are times where it looks like maybe he does. And so, again, that points to don't overreact to this season in particular. Next season, clearly he goes into it on the hot seat where it becomes easier to move on from him at the end of that campaign. And so with Stevens, it's just like the idea that there's no prerequisite for what it takes to be a good head coach in the NBA. You can come in like a Steve Kerr with no experience at it and win multiple championships. I understand the roster he was with, but he also is a very good head coach, especially at the offensive end. And you look at the tutelage he had and the legends that he played for, like Lute Olson, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich. You can have no experience playing like Greg Popovich and be arguably the best coach in the history of the league. Or you can be someone from a complete opposite end of the spectrum and do well. So I think that it's certainly possible that someone could come in and do a much better job with this team, especially offensively, than Brad Stevens. But since he's not going anywhere, to ground it into reality just a bit, I would say what the Celtics need to do is to pair his defensive capabilities as a head coach with a much stronger offensive coordinator. I think the Celtics have one of the worst coaching staffs in the league, quite frankly. And so I think that's what they need, someone who can make the game easier for them on that end of the floor.
So listening to people that have been around this team much more on a day-to-day basis than I have over the last couple of years, one of the common themes that comes out when it comes to the knocking of Brad Stevens is that players may not tune him out full-time, but he gets almost under their skin like nails on a chalkboard, and they want to essentially say, shut up, coach, but they don't. But that's what they're thinking, right? And if guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as leaders of this team aren't fully committed and fully engaged listening to Brad, and he's not going anywhere, it surprises me that on a team like the Celtics or a team like the Lakers or a team like the Bulls, these legendary franchises that have got a litany of great players to sort of have in their Rolodex, why they haven't called in somebody to sit on that bench with them. I mean, they had Walter McCarty for a while was on the bench. That's not the guy I'm looking for. You know, somebody that maybe was a part of the 08 team that these guys might have grown up watching going to the finals in 2010 and the conference finals in 2012, whether it's a James Posey or a Sam Cassell. Somebody like that doesn't have to be a Celtic legend, but somebody that they played as a video game character and somebody that may be able to get on the practice court with them and still do something in the half court where they look at coach and respect what he does on the floor. I think that additional voice really matters. And when the Celtics are the Celtics and they've got hundreds of guys that are well-respected that used to play for this franchise, it shocks me to no end that Brad doesn't have somebody like that he can lean on his bench.
Yeah, and what's interesting is the person who checked all those boxes last year and certainly did a lot more than that but filled that role was Kara Lawson.
Yeah.
Someone who clearly didn't play for the Celtics at any point
no.
in her life, but she was that buffer between head coach and player and someone who those guys really relied on and confided in and helped keep heads on straight and made sure that, you know, emotions didn't run too high to the point where it's counterproductive. So she did a great job in that role and, like I said, did a lot more than that for the team and was a huge loss where they really didn't fill that void.
No, they didn't, and Kara was one of the most suited people out there in the basketball world. She could have chosen her job, her next destination, and she's got a really bright future ahead of her. You know, good for Kara, but it annoys me to no end that they think that they can just bring in a pencil pusher and say, okay, my new assistant coach is. There's very few examples of guys that have risen through the ranks and really become super successful doing that. One of the guys, and the biggest guy probably, is Spoelstra. He started as a video editor 15, 20 years ago, and now he's arguably the premier coach in the NBA today. The guy was legitimately a joke, and people were making fun of him as Pat Riley's puppet when he first came on with the new big three.
Including LeBron.
Of course. He was a puppet, and now he has proven himself to be a legitimate head coach in this league that players respect and listen to. There's this idea when it comes to teams like the Celtics, and there's plenty of other examples of underperforming teams that are loaded up with talent. It's much riskier for Danny Ainge, who's also interested in protecting his own job. It's much easier for him to go out and bring in, I think, a big-name assistant coach. They're not going to get Kevin Garnett to come in here and be an assistant coach. They're not going to get Paul Pierce. He's too busy growing a weed empire now. You know, but can they get somebody that was, even a Leon Poe, who's a brand ambassador, you know, somebody that was a part of one of these more recent successful teams to come in here and really lay down the law. And you know, I applaud what they tried to do with Evan Turner, but he's not the guy. Yeah, he's not the guy. He's even when he was here, I was in every one of his press conferences. He's a funny guy, but he's soft-spoken. He's got dry humor. He's never going to be the guy that stands up and gets in somebody's face. And I feel like guys like Tatum and Brown that feel like they own the world already, sometimes need to get their egos put in check, and it takes somebody getting in their face and somebody that they'll actually listen to. And those guys are few and far between, but you have to believe that when you've got a legendary franchise like the Celtics, there's got to be somebody they can call on if they're not going to fire the coach.
Yeah, it's like you said, they want to have someone there on the staff who they can say more than just, I respect him, in the same way that you can't sell a friend to someone who you're trying to pair match-wise and you can only say, well, he's nice. You want to be able to have a little stronger sense of feeling towards an individual than that, especially in this job. And so with Evan Turner, it's an interesting role where it's player development and it's very behind the scenes. And so maybe you point to Peyton Pritchard and Aaron Nesmith and say, look, he's doing a good job, but who really knows who's not involved in the day-to-day with the Celtics? So I don't know who they add there. And someone who comes to mind for me, who I've always advocated for, is Jared Dudley. Obviously never played for the Celtics and doesn't have that lineage, but he did just win a title. He's one of the smartest players in the league.
He's still a player.
Certainly in recent years, he's still catching those player checks.
Yep.
So as long as they'll give him out, he's not going to stop collecting him. But I think he's someone who is going to make a great addition to a coaching staff whenever he's ready to retire.
Yeah, he's one of these guys that's got a high basketball IQ, which is a big reason why he's been able to hang on for so long. It's funny because there's very few NBA jobs available for players, right? But there's always a handful of guys that are able to hang on later in their careers despite the fact that their career is clearly over. Jared Dudley's one of them. Joe Smith was one of them.
Vince Carter
was one of them. These guys, there are much better players in the G League than what those guys were at the end of their careers. But they still brought a certain amount of value and respect to the bench, to the team, and it was something that not quite a coach, but again, had the ear of the younger players, gave the younger players a role model, somebody to look up to. Even the Cavaliers this year bring in Anderson Varejão to end his career. 38 years old, but he was a part of their championship teams, part of that culture, and clearly he's somebody that has got a certain amount of respect that he's earned within that franchise. They didn't have to bring him back from Brazil, but they did, and they didn't do it just because they wanted to hand out free money. They did it because going into the offseason, they wanted somebody else to maybe to help put their younger players in check one or two times before they all broke free for the summer.
Yeah, they could have signed him to a one-day contract, retire as a Cavalier. So I do think you're on to something there with what Anderson Varejão was able to do for the rest of the season in regards to Colin Sexton and Darius Garland.
Yep.
And the young guys on the team. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what the Celtics do in that regard, because I just think they need to bolster their coaching staff, like I'm saying here, stronger offensive coordinator, to get someone, even if it's a different individual, if it's the same guy who checks the box of players respect and will confide in and be that buffer, because you're not always going to go to the head coach to talk about what's going on, even sometimes when it includes how you feel about the head coach. So I think the Celtics just need to strengthen their coaching staff. And as far as who's the guy on their roster, I think Danny Ainge would point to Tristan Thompson. And if you want to look at the team results, you'd say that it's not a great job. But it's interesting that when all the reports came out around the deadline that they hate Tristan Thompson, that the Celtics are trying to get him out of the locker room, the players came to bat publicly and put their name on it in defense of him. So I do think there's a strong relationship there.
So are you suggesting, and I can't, the segment's going to be over in a minute here, but are you actually suggesting that Tristan Thompson gets brought back next year?
I think that they're going to have to part with another first-round pick to move him, and they're tired of doing it.
I'm going to throw up in my mouth. I just can't. I can't.
You should expect him back, because they already gave up first-round picks to move Enes Kanter, and they did it the year before as well.
Yep.
So I think Tristan Thompson's contract means that he's back with the Celtics next season. And I actually think he brings a good dynamic opposite, or behind, I should say, Robert Williams, whereas one's the skinnier, more athletic, high-flying center, and the other's the beefier bruiser.
Next year, when there's 20,000 people in the Garden for 41 home dates, and the Kardashians really start showing up, I can't do it again. We did it with Chris Humphries once upon a time, and I cannot do it again. Boston's had its Kardashian moment, and the moment they signed Tristan Thompson, my daughter knew who he was, and she's never seen a Cavaliers game. She's never watched a Cavaliers game, but she knew who he was because of the Kardashians. And that, to me, is everything that's wrong with the Tristan Thompson signing.
The show's over, so they're going to have more time to be at the Boston Garden. They might get season tickets.
They may.
They might be regulars.
Maybe they'll open up one of their little clothing shops here in Boston.
A little boutique in the building.
Set up shop. Hey, Boston's wonderful in the summer. I just can't see those guys hanging out here in the winter. They don't look like winter people to me.
That's when they'll be snowbirds.
We are the Sports Map Radio Network. We are the diehards. My name is Patrick Gilroy. His name is Bobby Kravinsky. When we come back, Bobby's going to tell you all about the wonders of Rocket Mortgage. We'll do that and more when we come back right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Welcome back to the Diehards on Sports Map Radio Network, presented to you by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Bobby Krivitsky here alongside Patrick Gilroy. And not to be confused with Patrick Gilmore, a friend of mine, but shout out to Patrick Gilroy, I should say. And we've also got our man Andrew Carlson running controls back in Houston. Andrew, going to ask you right now, from the show as we put a bow on it tonight, what was your favorite segment or your favorite take that you heard on the program?
I'm a big hoops head, so I really enjoyed today's show. But just despite Gilroy, who decided to leave a little early, I'm going to go with his man, Rick Horro, you know, coming on and enlightening us with everything going on in the world of sports business.
I cannot believe you called Gilroy out on that. I tried to cover for you, Patrick, but it's been blown. So, yeah, he is left early for reasons that are well worth it, let's say. And so, yeah, just me and you right now, Andrew, putting a bow on the program. If you love hoops, you definitely love tonight's program. I also thought the interview with Rick, minus the jabs at Gilroy, was fantastic. A lot of insightful knowledge about a lot of different situations, including that he believes the Oakland Athletics stay in the town. I would love to see that happen. I'd hate to see them lose a third franchise. Thank you for everyone listening tonight. A lot of hoops, like we said. Hope you enjoyed it. Bobby Krivitsky, Patrick Gilroy, the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.